in the limelight. The so-called global war on terror was not confined to operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. The US now has counter-terrorism operations in 85 countries. We're prepared for an article written by Netta Crawford, Professor of Political Science and Department Chairwoman at Boston University in the United States. The piece is titled Calculating the Real Costs of the Afghanistan War. The article has been published by the Asia Times Daily. The United States invaded Afghanistan in late 2001 to supposedly destroy al-Qaeda, remove the Taliban from power, and remake the nation. On 30th of August 2021, the US completed a pullout of occupation troops from Afghanistan, providing an uncertain punctuation mark to two decades of conflict. For the past 11 years, I have closely followed the post-9/11 conflicts for the Costs of War project, an initiative that brings together more than 50 scholars, physicians, and legal and human rights experts to provide an account of the human, economic, budgetary, and political costs of the Afghanistan war, and also the consequences of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Of course, by themselves, figures can never give a complete picture of what happened and what it means, but they can help put this war in perspective. The 20 numbers highlighted in boldface below, some drawn from figures released on Wednesday, 1st of September, by Cost of War Project, help tell the story of the Afghanistan War. From 2001 to 2021, on 18th of September 2001, the US House of Representatives voted 420-1 and the Senate voted 98-0 to authorize the United States to go to war, not just in Afghanistan, but in an open-ended commitment against those responsible for the recent attacks launched against the United States. U.S. Representative Barbara Lee of California cast the only vote opposed to the war. In other words, the U.S. Congress took 7 days after the suspicious 9/11 attacks to deliberate on the authorization of the war. At 7,262 days from the final attack on Afghanistan to the final troop pullout, Afghanistan is said to be the United States' longest war. But it isn't. The US has not officially ended the Korean War, and US operations in Vietnam, which began in the mid-1950s and included the declared war from 1965 to 1975, also rival Afghanistan in longevity. U.S. President George W. Bush told members of Congress in a joint session on 20th of September 2001 that the war would be global, overt and covert, and could last a very long time. He said, "Our war on terror begins with al-Qaeda, but it does not end there. It will not end until every terrorist group of global reach has been found, stopped and defeated. Americans should not expect one battle, but a lengthy campaign, unlike any other we have ever seen." The US started bombing Afghanistan a few weeks later. The Taliban surrendered in Kandahar on 9th of December 2001. The US began to fight them again in earnest in March of 2002. In April of 2002, George W. Bush promised to help bring true peace to Afghanistan. "Peace will be achieved by helping Afghanistan develop its own stable government. Peace will be achieved by helping Afghanistan train and develop its own national army. And peace will be achieved through an education system for boys and girls which works." The so-called global war on terror was not confined to operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. The US, now has counter-terrorism operations in at least 85 countries. The human cost. Most Afghans alive today were not born when the US war in Afghanistan began. The median age in Afghanistan is just 18.4 years, including their country's war with the Soviet Union from 1979 to 1989 and civil war in the 1990s, most Afghans have lived under nearly continuous war. According to the US Bureau of Labor Statistics, there are 980,000 US Afghanistan war veterans. Of these men and women, 507,000 served in both Afghanistan and Iraq. As of mid-August 2021, 20,722 members of the US military had been wounded in action in Afghanistan, not including the 18 who were injured in the attack by Daesh terrorists outside Kabul airport on 26 August. Of the veterans who were injured and lost a limb in the post-9/11 wars, many lost more than one. According to Dr. Paul Pasquina of the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences, of these veterans, about 40% to 60% also sustained a brain injury. Because of some of the lessons learned and the innovations that have taken place on the battlefield, we were taking care of service members who in previous conflicts would have died. In fact, because of advances in trauma care, more than 90% of all soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq who were injured in the field survived. Many of the seriously injured survived wounds that in the past might have killed them. In all, 2,455 US service members were killed in the Afghanistan war. The figure includes 13 US troops who were killed by Daesh terrorists at Kabul airport attack on 26 August 2021. US deaths in Operation Enduring Freedom also include 130 service members who died in other locations besides Afghanistan, including at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba, in Djibouti, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Jordan, Kenya, Kyrgyzstan, Pakistan, the Philippines, Seychelles, Sudan, Tajikistan, Turkey, Uzbekistan, and Yemen. The United States has paid $100,000 in a death gratuity to the survivors of each of the service members killed in the Afghanistan war, totaling $245.5 million. More than 46,000 civilians have been killed by all sides in the Afghanistan conflict. These are the direct deaths from bombs, bullets, blasts, and fire. According to the United Nations Assistance Mission in Afghanistan, thousands more have been injured in the Afghanistan war. And while the number of Afghans leaving the country has increased in recent weeks, more than 2.2 million displaced Afghans were living in the Islamic Republic of Iran and Pakistan at the end of 2020. The United Nations Refugee Agency reported recently that since the start of last year, more than 558,000 people have been internally displaced, having fled their homes to escape violence in Afghanistan. According to the United Nations, in 2021, about a third of people remaining in Afghanistan are malnourished. About half of all children under the age of 5 years have experienced malnutrition. The human toll also includes the hundreds of Pakistani civilians who were killed in more than 400 US drone strikes in Pakistan since 2004. Those drone strikes happened as the US sought to kill Taliban and Al-Qaeda leaders who fled and sheltered in Pakistan in late 2001 after the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan. Pakistani civilians have also been killed in crossfire during fighting between militants and the Pakistani military. The financial cost. In terms of the U.S. federal budget, the Congress has allocated a bit over $1 trillion to the Department of Defense, the Pentagon, for the Afghanistan war. But all told, the war has cost much more than that, including the Department of Defense, the Pentagon spending. More than $2.3 trillion has been spent so far, including increases to the Pentagon's base military budget due to the fighting. U.S. State Department spending on to reconstruct Afghanistan and train its military, interest on borrowing to pay for the war in Afghanistan, and spending for veterans and the Veterans Affairs system. The total costs so far for all post-9/11 war veterans' disability and medical care costs are about $465 billion through fiscal year 2022. And this doesn't include the future costs of all of the post-9/11 veterans' medical and disability care, which Harvard University scholar Linda Bilmes estimates will likely add about $2 trillion to the overall cost of care for American veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars between now and 2050. The war in Afghanistan, like many other wars before it, began with optimistic assessments of a quick victory and a promise to rebuild at the war's end. Despite George W. Bush's warning of a lengthy campaign, few thought that that would mean decades of war. But here we are 20 years later, the United States is still counting the costs of the Afghan war.